The book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Please turn there with me. For those of you who are guests today, our church has been studying the book of Romans together since September. And just last week, we made it to chapter 10. We're also memorizing selected verses from Romans as we go. And today, let's start committing Romans 10:9 to memory. This is one important verse that should stick with all of us. We actually, as a church, looked at it briefly last week, but we just flew by it in the interest of time. And I knew that I was going to come back and camp on it with you today. Have you found it? Romans 10, 9 and 10. In this section of Romans, the Apostle Paul has been talking about how the nation of Israel stumbled over Christ. They rejected Jesus as their Messiah. They didn't believe in Him. Instead, Paul says they tried to establish their own righteousness through the law, as if salvation were by works. But Paul has said instead that salvation is by faith in Christ alone, like we just sang, in Christ alone. And he says that this is the message of faith that we proclaim. Are you ready? Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, we all need to hear these verses. Some may need to hear it for the first time or with new ears, but we all need them. So help me, Lord, to get across their message. Use me if you can, Lord, but work around me if you must. But speak to us through Romans 10, 9 and 10. We pray it in the name of these verses' subject, our risen Lord. Amen. Let me read it to you once again. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. That's our title for this morning. God raised Him from the dead. There's a lot in these two verses, isn't there? Just two verses, but they are just packed tight with truth. You see how Paul says one thing in verse 9, and then he explains it while switching the order in verse 10? He says in verse 9, confess and believe. And then he explains that by saying, believe, and then confess in verse 10. Scholars call that kind of inversion in wording a chiasm or chiasm, which is a literary device to show how important the relationship is between certain concepts or ideas. In other words, Paul very badly wants us to understand these concepts and how they relate to each other. There are three big words in these two verses that I want to think about quickly this morning. Here they are. Believe, confess, saved. Believe, confess, saved. Let's think about them one at a time. The first is believe. Now, Paul doesn't start with believe in verse 9. He starts with confess. But when he explains verse 9 and verse 10, he starts with believe. And that's because everything starts in the heart. Verse 10 says, it is with your heart, that's the inner you, that's the real you, that's the person that lives inside your earth suit, okay? It's with your heart that you believe and are justified. Now, if you've been tracking along in Romans, that word justified has been very important to us. It's that Greek word, dikaiosune, or righteousness. Paul says it is with your heart that you believe into righteousness or into justification. In other words, justification is by faith. It's with your heart that you trust Jesus and get righteousness as a gift. We have seen that righteousness has been the problem all along in the book of Romans. The book of Romans has said we have a righteousness problem because we are unrighteous. And the wrath of God is coming on the unrighteous. People have tried to solve this problem through self-righteousness, being good, obeying the law, keeping your nose clean. But that does not work, because we cannot regain the righteousness we need on our own. We need a righteousness to be given to us, a righteousness reckoned to our account. And the good news is that God has supplied that righteousness through the death of Jesus Christ in our place. That's what Good Friday was all about. How many were here on Good Friday to see our Last Supper drama? Yeah. Did you enjoy that? Is that good stuff? Yeah, I really appreciated how every testimony pointed to Jesus. It wasn't like, I'm Thomas and I'm amazing, right? Or I'm Matthew and boy, you ought to hear what I did. It all focused on Jesus and who He was and what He did. Romans 3 said it this way. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Believe. It's more than just believe that He died, though, isn't it? What did verse 9 say that we must believe? We must believe this. It says, believe in your heart, what? That God raised Jesus from the dead. See, that's Resurrection Sunday. That's the empty tomb. That's what we celebrate today. Jesus did not stay dead. And to be saved, we must believe it. Believe. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? It makes all the difference in the world. If you do not believe it, you are not saved. Believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the non-negotiables of Christianity. If you find it too hard to believe, you're not a believer. To be saved, you must believe it in your heart. It's that important. The Bible says that if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then we're all wasting our time here. Big colossal waste of time. I took a shower for this. I put on my bow tie. I got on my coat. I came out and spent my whole morning here with you people. But if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then we are being foolish. What we're doing here this morning is ridiculous. And my life's work is ridiculous, foolish, and to be pitied. If Jesus is still dead, then I have wasted my life and career. And everyone here in this room is being foolish, singing songs about this person who's dead. But if Jesus has come back from the dead, then this says there is righteousness for all who believe. Do you believe? I encourage you to get that question settled. For those of you with questions, we are giving away a book called The Case for Christ. In the foyer, as Tim said, we bought a case of The Case for Christ. It's back there on the foyer, on the table in the foyer. If we run out, we can just buy some more. We got them at a great price. Just put your name down on a list, and we'll get you one if we run out. This book goes into the evidence about Jesus, and especially about the historical reality of His resurrection. Because when we talk about resurrection, we're not talking about some metaphor, just some nice idea. We're talking about a reality. Jesus Christ came back from the dead. He was dead. He flatlined. His heart stopped. He didn't breathe anymore. He died. And then He came back from the dead. And that's impossible by normal human standards. It took the divine power of God to do it. We are going to have a 6-week special Sunday school class, Tim mentioned, for adults starting in a few weeks based on the evidence in that book. I invite you to all to come to that. We've got child care provided Sunday school classes. We're going to walk through in 6 weeks some of the key things that the book says. If you know all that already, but you want to be better prepared to share it with others, we invite you to come and join us. My point is, if you have questions about this, get them answered. Because it's a matter of life and death and life again. All 5 of the young people getting baptized today have said that they believe. They believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. He is not still in the tomb. His body did not decay. He is not dust. Yes, He died. but he did not stay dead. God raised him from the dead. Believe. And if you believe with your heart, then confess with your mouth. Verse 10 again. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now this word confess means to agree. It means to say the same thing as someone else. We tend to use confess negatively, like confessing to a crime. And that's true. If you confess to a crime, you agree that you were in the wrong. Your mouth matches the reality if you have committed a crime and you confess to it. But this isn't a crime that we're confessing here in these two verses. What is our confession to be saved? Verse 9. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Our confession is that Jesus is Lord, our Lord, and the Lord of all. You see how that comes from our hearts? The Lord Jesus said it's from the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. I think that's why he starts with confess, goes to heart, then he goes to heart, and then he goes to confess with the mouth. This confession is not a work that we perform to earn our salvation. It is the natural outpouring of words that overflow from a heart that believes that God raised Jesus from the dead. It is agreeing and saying with the rest of the church throughout the ages that Jesus is Lord. What's that mean? When you say Jesus is Lord, what do you mean? Well, notice that it's a specific person. Jesus of Nazareth. The Jesus presented in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the Jesus who entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday riding a donkey. It's the Jesus who served the Last Supper to His disciples and talked about the bread and the cup being His body and His blood. It's the Jesus who was tried, crucified, killed, and buried. And it's the same Jesus whom God raised from the dead. That Jesus is Lord. Lord, L-O-R-D. Now that's a big, strong word. We don't use it very much, right? We don't have lords, you know. So we're not used to using that word. But it is a strong word. It's a word that means ruler, sovereign, king, master, boss. For those of you who came to our drama on Friday night, how about that centurion? Huh? Doesn't that just put the cap on it? Do you remember when he yelled out, "There is no king but Tiberius"? Remember that? I was like, whew, okay, sorry. He came to believe there is a king over Tiberius. And it was a seditious thing to say in the Roman world that Jesus is Lord. We believe and confess that Jesus is king. In fact, He is King of kings and Lord of lords. What He says goes. What He commands is our command. One of the reasons why these five young people are getting baptized today is because they have come to believe that Jesus said, if you're a believer, you get baptized. They're doing it because Jesus is their Lord. He is their Lord, and they're confessing He's Lord of all. Have you said that yourself? Have you said it to the world? Jesus is Lord. These days, it's not popular to say that you have a Lord. And most of us don't want to have a Lord. I mean, we want to be saved, sure, if we need some saving. But we want to live our lives the way we want to live our lives. We want to do what we want to do. We don't want a boss. We don't want a Lord. Especially if he cramps our style. I believe that a lot of people have claimed to be Christians, but aren't willing to bow to the will of their master. Jesus said about people like that, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" He said to people like that, "I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Those are sobering words. Let's make sure that our lives match our mouths, and let us confess that Jesus is Lord. The only way He could be Lord is if He came back from the dead. And He did. Because it's with your mouth that you confess, and are saved. That's our last word, saved. Saved from what? If we say saved, we throw that word around, what do we mean? Saved from sin, saved from ourselves, saved from Satan, but most importantly, saved from God. Saved from God's wrath. Because as we've seen, the wrath of God is being revealed against all unrighteousness. And we need that righteousness. And Jesus has given us His. That's what was going on the cross. And that's what was going on at the resurrection. Romans 4:25 said that Jesus was raised for our justification, for our righteousification. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And look at verse 11. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. That means eternally. It doesn't mean that this world won't try to shame you. I got news for you, if you didn't know this already, the world is going to try to shame you, Christian. Tyler, Thomas, Meg, Joshua, Nathan, the world will try to shame you for believing and confessing. But God will not. And the world's shame will not stick. It'll just fall off of you. You need not be ashamed for believing in and confessing the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of all who believe forever. Are you saved? Do you have the righteousness that you need? Because the wrath of God is coming on all who do not. Jesus Christ took the wrath of God in our place so that all who repent and place their faith in Him will never be put to shame. Are you saved? If you're not, we invite you to be saved today. Saved by Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead after He had died for your sins. Entrust yourself and your life to Him completely. Don't trust in your good works. Don't trust in your own righteousness. Trust in His, a righteousness guaranteed by His resurrection. And then confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved.